Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, everybody. This is Keith over at Broadcasting Live, Pensacola Business Radio. I have in our studio this morning Mr. Chris Hooks from Spotless Logistics. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Keith.
Miss Dannon Bird from March of Dimes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Mr. You have so many letters in your name or after. I don't know. Is it Mr.? Is it Captain? Is it Major? So I've got Mr. Kevin Miller here for author of Raven One. Welcome.
Hi, Keith.
And so do we call you? I mean, do you still go by your military stuff?
You know, Kevin certainly works.
Kevin works,
but
good.
I did retire as a captain.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You still get people that see you in the street and they're like, "Hey, what's up, Captain?"
Some.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Chris, man, you're here talking about Spotless Logistics, and yeah. I have seen you more in the last couple of weeks before I even knew about Spotless Logistics. So I know you're out there and you're hustling and you're making it happen.
Most definitely.
Let's tell everybody what you do.
Well, what we do is we provide commercial cleaning services to the Pensacola area here. So first, the services we offer range from estate move-outs, residential move-ins and move-outs, floor maintenance such as VCT stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning. So we do partner with another company to do our carpet cleaning, contract clean. So if you need your office maybe cleaned either 5 times a week down to 1 time a week, we can handle that as well. You know, after hours or during business hours, we can do that. Also deep clean. So we do come in. We have a few clients right now. We come in once or twice a year, mostly twice a year, and we do a full top to down cleaning from the ceiling all the way down to scrubbing the floors, the grout, the bathrooms, the whole nine yards. So we offer a wide range of cleaning services. And we like to say, you know, if it can be clean, we can help.
Yeah. And are you guys strictly business or are you doing residential as well?
We do residential move-ins and move-outs. So if you're looking for a company that does weekly cleanings in your home, unfortunately, that's not us. Maybe something we'll get into down the road,
yeah.
But right now it's not us. But anything commercial, we can definitely handle, but residential, just residential move-ins, move-outs. Estate move-outs is something that we don't get a lot of publicity on. We do,
sure. Because, you know, usually when you see those, it's never a fun event.
Exactly.
That's causing that to happen.
Right.
But now that you mention it, I mean, a lot of people, you really don't think about that service until it's the time that you need it. But
exactly.
There's things you've got to get done, and a lot of times we don't all have the time to go move in somebody else's stuff, right?
Right, exactly. So we come in with a full team that, you know, takes care in those items, and we box those up. We do whatever you need with them, you know, prepare the home for an estate sale, and then we come in and deep clean the house and prepare to actually sell. So we take care of it from start to finish.
Yeah. So what makes you guys different from anyone else?
Well, what we do, I like to say our attention to detail is probably the biggest thing. And also I like to say, you know, let us show you, if you have a current cleaner, most of the time people think with commercial cleaning services,
yeah.
It's two things. People either think they're paying too much or they're not happy with their current cleaning service. So most of the time cleaning companies get in, you know, first month, 2 months, 3 months into it. It's the honeymoon. You know, I like to call it the honeymoon phase where they're doing
everything spot on and good to go.
Everything's spot on. And then as that time goes on, you know, they kind of slack off. They're like, oh, you know, we're in here and we don't have to worry about them checking for stuff. And we can go lax a little bit and maybe miss this, miss that, you know. And you go from cleaning an hour and a half down to an hour because now you're missing stuff and just trying to be lax. And that's when that honeymoon period is over. And, and that owner or that business professional starts to realize that and they're not happy. So some clients will come out and say, you know, hey, we're not happy with these services. Other clients will just up and fire you one day.
And
you're blindsided by it. So what makes us different is that the honeymoon is never over with us. I actually myself go out and inspect our jobs to make sure we are consistently cleaning the same way we did on day one.
Right.
So
very
definitely
cool.
Take that time.
So, and I noticed that you guys use a lot of green cleaning stuff, don't you?
Right. We are a green cleaning company. What we do is now that part of it is optional. So that is definitely optional. What we do is we come with green products, of course. And we provide a healthier working environment for your business occupants or your building occupants, excuse me, and your visitors and employee and staff. But there's a healthier breathing environment.
Sure.
When you use green products, because of course, most of us are not aware of the chemicals used, the standard household chemicals used that can actually affect your health over time.
Yeah.
So that's why we switched to being an optional green company. So if you want to do green cleaning, we can do that for you. If not, that's fine as well, but we definitely highly recommend it as well.
Yeah, I could see that. And, you know, of course, as we sort of get into the more advanced style of chemicals these days, but you look at some of the older stuff when you compare it to the green and you kind of wonder why you're still walking around.
Right.
You know,
right.
Except for bleach. For some reason, and this is probably from my culinary years, but bleach is always, I love the smell of bleach.
Really?
It was always one of those things that, well, in the kitchen, you know, when you're hosing and scrubbing floors, I mean, that was it. When you smell the bleach, you knew it was time to go home.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I want to know, how'd you get started with all this?
Well, I and a partner, my partner or co-owner, LeBarian Turner, last year we started out, we've always been sort of entrepreneurs, wanted to do our thing. And, I graduated from Florida State, you know, with the
Go Noles.
Go Noles.
I'm Florida State too, baby.
I don't know.
Kevin might be outnumbered over here.
I have a degree from Florida State.
Oh, there we go.
We got a whole room of them.
A whole room of Noles. That's awesome. But, I graduated with a bachelor's in IT. So people say, well, how'd you get into commercial cleaning? And I say, well, you know, IT, it's great and all, but it's not something I want to do lifelong. And I always wanted to own my own business. And I have relatives over in Fort Walton that actually do cleaning now. They clean condos. So, you know, I talked to them and they were like, yeah, you know, it's a great business to get into. And me and LeBarian, that's what we did. We started, Spotless Logistics, and we went from there and started advertising, getting clients, and really started to impress. Cause my biggest thing is that end result when the customer comes in and they say, wow, this place is really clean. You know, that's what I get out. That's the passion.
Yeah.
Or the return on my investment is to see their face light up when they see how clean we can get things sometimes.
And I love the name, man. How'd you guys come up with the name?
He came up, well, LeBaron, we were texting back and forth. I never forget this day. We were texting back and forth and we kept sending words back to each other. And he sent Spotless Cleaning. Then I said, well, how about Spotless Logistics? So I came with Logistics.
Sure.
He came with Spotless.
There you go.
Together.
It's 50-50, huh?
Right on.
It's a very cool name. So,
right. Thank you.
What's your typical process for getting somebody on board or getting some clients? How does that, you know, if I come to you, how does that work?
Well, if you come to me, personally, then what I do is say, hey, you know, let's schedule an appointment. We'll come out. We'll assess the facility or the home. If it's something residential, we'll take a look around, get a quote. Normally we typically don't have to measure. We can, you know, judge how big the office
sure.
is, or we can use Google to get square footage.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing you can do that, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
It's kind of scary, too.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here's the square footage. Oh,
yeah.
Don't need this tape measure on my hip anymore. But we come out and we assess the property first. So we can do an on-site proposal, but we normally don't like to. We like to go back to the office
sure.
right before detailed proposal. And I mean detailed. I mean exactly every item we're going to do. If it's vacuuming once a week, if it's taking out the trash, if it's cleaning the windows, washing the dishes in the sink, everything is included on that proposal. So that way, when we come out, you know what to expect when we come out, and you can go back through with a checklist and
right.
say, hey, was this done? Was this done? Of course, we do the same thing. When we get done, we go back through this checklist of these very detailed items and we make sure everything is done. That way the client is always happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's getting done. So, I mean, typically if you come to me, we can typically start service within the week.
Yeah. So pretty quick process.
Oh, yes. Pretty quick process. If we can get the contract signed, we can start service within the week and either start as your first outsourcing provider or take over for a company that you just fired.
Yeah.
You know, we've had situations where companies say, look, you know, these people still didn't show up. Could you guys get in here this weekend and take care of it?
Right.
And say, yeah, you know, I just ran over, signed the contract, and that weekend we were in there cleaning, and that was on a Thursday, and we started cleaning on Saturday.
So. Yeah. So what if I don't know if I need this kind of service?
Well, if you don't know, I'd say let us give it a shot. We can come out and assess, and we can also show you a breakdown of how much money you could actually be saving by, or time actually, really, money and time.
Yeah.
Because
let's face it. I mean, in the work environment, time is money. I mean, we all
right.
know that.
Exactly.
It's all by the hour or by the minute.
Exactly. Some people try to keep, or some companies try to keep the cleaning in-house, and they don't understand, you know, that value, that time that employee is spending cleaning is actually more time they could be spending helping your business grow.
Sure.
So, and sometimes it's either they're a cousin or a mother or something, you know, you say, hey, well, we have a relative that doesn't. And what you don't realize is if that person is listed as a secretary and they sometimes, and they get hurt, well, they're listed as a secretary.
Right.
Workers' comp, you know, other companies.
Right. And they got hurt cleaning or something. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Cause it's a secretary, you know, it doesn't, in job details or job description, cleaning is not one of them.
Yeah.
So now you're out of pocket. You're paying for their medical bills and workers' comp is not going to cover it because they say, look, they weren't supposed to be cleaning.
Right.
So we definitely stress that, a lot, you know, is to make sure if you have a cleaning company, make sure, somebody cleaning, make sure that's in their job description.
Yeah.
So that you're covered as well. So that's what we like to stress.
Very cool. So let's tell everybody where they can call you, find you, Facebook you, website, all that good stuff.
Well, our website, pretty easy, is thespotlesstouch.com. On Facebook, you can find our Facebook page at facebook.com/spotlesslogistics. Our Instagram is at spotlesslogistics as well.
So much social media out there. Very cool, man.
Plenty of it.
Very cool. So, Chris, I want to thank you for coming in and talking about Spotless Logistics. Hang out for a little while?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Keith.
All right. So we're going to go to our next guest, Danon. Good morning.
Good morning.
So March of Dimes, tell us, I know you got a whole world going on over there, don't you?
It's a busy time of year for
it
us.
Is.
November is Prematurity Awareness Month. So we're, out on the streets and getting, businesses and folks involved and raising some awareness for prematurity, especially here in Escambia County, where our premature birth rate is just, astounding. We have a big, health issue here.
And I was not aware of this until you and I had spoken the other day of how high it is.
Yeah. So the March of Dimes just released our annual report card. And Pensacola is not listed on the report card. Thank goodness. I think that's a good thing. But really, whenever you break it down and look at individual counties, out of 67 counties in Florida, we rank 65.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so tell us about March of Dimes. I mean, what are you guys doing to bring that number down?
Yeah, so a lot of people are familiar with the March of Dimes name. Our organization has been around for more than 75 years. We actually were founded by President Roosevelt in 1938. And back then, our mission was to eradicate polio, and Roosevelt was actually a polio survivor himself.
Sure.
And so we set out to develop this vaccine that now we can honestly say, I like to check when I'm in a room like this, that nobody has polio, right?
No.
Nobody?
I'm
okay,
good.
So we can, at least the four of us are beneficiaries yeah. of the March of Dimes work. But so anyways, a lot of people know us from back in the day, the work that we did to eradicate polio. And we are the only national nonprofit who has set out with a mission and been able to accomplish what we, you know, we're looking to do, put a check mark in the box and move to something different. And so now our mission actually has three parts. We work hard to prevent premature birth defects, and infant mortality, with a focus on prematurity, because if we can prevent babies from being born too soon, then a lot of those babies will not have health issues. And of course, you know, prematurity is the number one cause of death in newborns now. So, really what we do is work hard to find the causes of why babies are born too soon, to help, you know, just overall outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I know you've had a couple events over the last couple of weeks here in Pensacola, but I know you guys have a bunch coming up, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. So World Prematurity Day is November 17th. That's what, 2 weeks or no, gosh,
no.
1 week
yeah.
from today. Oh my goodness. The days
yeah.
are flying off the calendar. But yeah, 1 week from today is World Prematurity Day. We're just asking people to wear purple that day. You know, help us raise awareness, talk about, something related to premature birth. You know, I have found in the 2 years that I've worked for March of Dimes, you really don't have to look hard to find a connection. Pretty much everyone knows of someone who has in
yeah.
some way been touched by our mission. And so, you know, we're just out there, like I said, raising awareness and using this as a platform really to change what, you know, our health, what our health issues are here in our county.
Yeah. So, and I know with all of these events, you guys probably need volunteers, don't you?
We are, you know, it's funny. I am the only March of Dimes staff person from here to
yeah.
Panama City. And so it is a lot. And really, we always say that the March of Dimes is volunteer driven and staff supported. And without volunteers, I mean, our wheels just wouldn't keep going and we
yeah.
wouldn't be able to do what we're doing.
So what do you, I know you've spent the last couple, well, I saw you with the mayor, and you got to speak with him.
Yeah.
And I've seen you going around and really promoting this stuff and talking about it. But what do you think the next step is for Pensacola? I mean, what's the next thing that we need to do?
Well, really, it's sort of a breakthrough in realizing why people should care about prematurity. We have, want to plug in the event on November 20th at the Blue Wahoo Stadium where, you know, everybody's heard of TED Talks. And so Baptist Healthcare is bringing TED Med to Pensacola. The whole conversation is about community health. And I think one of the buzzwords around here lately has been the quality of life. And,
which we ranked really high in, actually. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
survey,
I did. And that's what blew my mind.
Number 8 or something.
Wow. Nobody talked about babies. And yeah. There wasn't any discussion about maternal and infant health in that survey. But anyhow, so we're using that opportunity with the TED Med event to talk about, prematurity and why business owners should care about what our what our preterm birth rate is. Because as a business owner, if you have currently the statistic is that 1 in 9 babies in Florida are born premature. As a business owner, if you have an employee who has a preterm baby, you're going to pay more in healthcare costs for one premature baby than the other 8 babies that are healthy and have an uncomplicated delivery combined.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And so whenever you look at the fact that we have one of the highest rates in Florida for preterm birth, it really is a community-wide issue, and we really want business owners to get on board with supporting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when is TED Med again? The 20th, you
TED
said?
TED Med, yep, Friday the 20th. We'll have a VIP breakfast that morning starting at 7:30, and then TED Med will stream from 9 to 2.
Okay, and then how do people get involved in TED Med if they want to go?
There is a link. They have a Facebook page, I know, for the TED Med event, but certainly anybody who's interested can reach out to me and I'll get you hooked up with the info. My phone number is 850-462-7756.
Very cool. And of course you have website, March of Dimes.
Yep.
Yep. And then.
So it's, facebook.com/March of Dimes Florida.
Yeah, that there we go. I can't keep up with all y'all social stuff. That's y'all's job. Okay, so we know you need volunteers. We know we want to get people interested and we want them to really be aware of what's going on. What's the next thing you need the most help with?
So let's be honest. We wouldn't be where we are in all of the breakthroughs that we've done if it wasn't for research that we do. And research, of course, is not cheap. It doesn't come free. And so we need to raise money. And that's our next thing is in spring, we'll have a big walk. We're actually going to kick it off in January at Gulf Power. So save the date for January 21st. Each year, March for Babies, is our big fundraiser. It happens down at Maritime Park. This year we actually hit a new record for Pensacola for fundraising for March for Babies. And so to me, that's exciting because more people are aware and more people are getting involved and wanting to change. And so that's really the key is you got to get involved and you got to, walk and be there and raise money.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
Quick question. That kickoff you're doing, is that more open to the public or is that for someone that wants to sponsor the event?
It is. We highlight all of our, corporate sponsors for that, but, and we have all of our team captains come that morning, but, it is a citywide kickoff. So anybody is welcome to come to that. Yeah.
Awesome.
You going?
I
think you just signed yourself up, didn't you? I think Chris is going to help you pass stuff out.
Chris is the number one volunteer.
I think you just got some added services. So, well, very cool. Well, Dana, what have we missed? What else do we need to make sure that people know about March of Dimes?
You know, it's very different. I think our mission now, polio was an epidemic and it was very publicly put out there and I remember talking to a lady that was a nurse here in Pensacola and she had polio as a child. And she said, Dana, they put my name in the newspaper and they quarantined me at home and it was, like everybody knew.
Right.
And I think our mission now is much more private where a family who has a preterm baby, such as myself, I mean, I'm speaking from, firsthand experience here. When my daughter came home from the NICU after 4 months, I wasn't out beating on doors and talking to people about premature birth and how traumatic it was for, scary, to what you think is going to be the happiest day of your life to turn into the scariest.
Yeah.
I mean, in the blink of an eye. And so it's not something that, you know, these families are out, you know, in the streets.
Yeah, yeah, we're not throwing parties over.
Yeah, we're not throwing parties. Exactly. And same thing with a birth defect. If your baby is born and has something that needs to be addressed, whether it's a cleft palate or cleft lip, I mean, something as simple as that, that's mm-hmm. an easy fix these days. It gets corrected, kind of swept under the rug, you know, and you never want your baby to be, looked at as any different from another child their age. And so it doesn't get talked about. And then also same thing. I can't imagine, you know, I know very few families who are willing to stand up in a room of strangers and talk about what their experience was like to have their baby pass away. So it's much more private. We don't have, you know, the people, you know, that are sharing their stories. We have to be the advocates. Sure. You know, the babies don't have a voice, obviously. So we've got to be the advocates for them.
Well, we've got to let people know that you guys are out there and the services that you all offer. And, you know, you're right. The fact that some things don't show up on surveys because they're not surveyed, because you're right. Nobody wants to talk about
that's
it.
That's right.
Kind of stuff. So, that's why you're here.
Thanks.
And that's why you always have a story to tell, don't you?
Yes.
But. So, okay. Well, Danon, let's send people to where they can get in touch with you if they want to help, volunteer, donate, sponsor. He needs the address so he can come.
Yeah. Chris is going to write a big check from Spotless Logistics for sponsorship now. but I'm here locally. If you're in Pensacola and you want to get involved with March of Dimes, you can reach out to me. The phone number is 850-462-7756. My email is dbyrd@marchofdimes.org, or you can go to the March of Dimes, website, marchofdimes.org. March of Dimes, Facebook, Florida. I mean, we're everywhere. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then you've got the TED Med coming up on the 20th. You've got 20th. The spring run.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Lots of stuff coming up. All so right, World Prematurity Day, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Purple on the 17th, right?
That's okay. Right.
I got to find a purple shirt. I don't know if I own a purple shirt.
If
you do,
yeah.
You bring me a purple shirt, I will wear it. I promise you that.
That works. Thanks,
Very
Keith.
Cool. All right. Well, Danon, thanks for coming in and hang out with us for you a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Captain Miller. See, now I got to call you Captain because you told me. Okay, so Kevin Miller, author of Raven One. So I've got to tell everybody, you know, I asked you to come on, and you said, yes, I'll come on if you promise to read my book first. So I said, okay. I don't read very fast. I read a lot, but I don't read very fast. So I got probably, I don't know, chapter into this thing. Man, I'm almost done. I'm hooked. So let's talk. Tell everybody. Let's tell, because I think it's the next Top Gun, if you don't mind me saying it that way. I do.
Keep thinking.
There you go. So, how did you get here? You know.
Well, you know, I had a naval aviation career, as many in Pensacola have, and I retired out of the Pentagon about 10 years ago. And one of my friends said, "You should write a book." And come on. I mean, my career, you know, okay, I have some stories, but he said, no, write a book. So, okay. So I kind of took that on, and it took me several years, and I would write, you know, 5,000-10,000 words in a burst of energy, and then I'd put it away for months and pick it back up. But I finally finished it, and I instinctively knew that I had something. And it's a story about a carrier-based fighter squadron set today in the Persian Gulf in combat. There's men and women that have to work in close quarters to get the job done. They don't always get along. They're with human beings with their human shortcomings. But over the horizon, you know, there's a job to do, and they've got to work together to do it. And so I shopped around New York to try to find an agent.
Yeah.
And was rejected time and time again. And I take some comfort in that. I heard that Margaret Mitchell was rejected 29 times.
Yeah, I think New York has a thing about that.
You know,
you got to get kicked out a couple of times before you really get some passion and some anger in there, right?
And so the agents that would, you know, answer my queries, okay, you know, send me a chapter, send me the whole thing. And they took a look and said, okay, look, this isn't for me right now. However, you know, you've got something here. Keep trying. So I came across a guy named Jeff Edwards, and he is the a micro publisher in San Diego, another retired Navy guy like me, who's written a lot of novels in this, you know, action adventure, military techno thriller genre. And a friend said, you know, send it to Jeff. So I did. And he said, okay, Kevin, you've got something here, but it needs editing. So find an editor.
Right.
So I did here in Pensacola, and her name is Linda Wasserman, and she owns Pelican Press Pensacola. And Linda had no background in this, you know, and this is, you know, naval aviation with acronyms and jargon. It's just, you get drenched in it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was one of the parts I like so much is I'm in the culinary world. Okay. So we sort of lived in that same.
That's right.
There's an acronym for everything. There's the jargon, the chatter, the talk, that all of that adds that experience that makes you feel like you're there. So I got that. I think that was one of the things that got me hooked. But anyway, go ahead.
Linda was perfect because she had no background.
Yeah.
She's such a wonderful editor and her knowledge of the English language and how readers, you know, want to read things. And so the two of us published this thing last summer, and just word of mouth and, you know, our Facebook, you know, networks. And it quickly became a bestseller in its genre, which is genre fiction. War, and it has to date sold about 15,000 copies.
Wow. Yeah, it's awesome.
That is awesome.
So part two on its way?
Yes. that's something that I'm told you should never ask a writer, but yes, I am writing a sequel.
Very
and,
cool.
And I'm close to finishing it, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, writing is... you know, it's lonely. It's you know, I'm not a marathon runner, but I imagine it is like that. I mean, just the, you know, you just have to, you know, one step at a time and keep going and keep going. The rule of thumb is that you should write 1,000 words a day. So, you know, think back to high school. Now we're talking, you know, a 5-page report a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wow. Does that make your palms sweat?
Yeah, I was always told one chapter at a time, which I guess is kind of the same thing. But I can imagine that not even just the writing for you, but you know, a lot of this is based off of your experience. And a lot of this, I'm sure, just has been pulled from some true things that have happened with you and where you've been in your career. But when you write about it and then reliving all of that stuff in your head, that's got to take a little while. I mean, you write 1,000 words in an hour, but then you got to deal with all of that reminiscing, you know?
You know, the descriptions for me of, you know, my experiences in the cockpit. I mean, you know, beautiful sunrises or, you know, dark, you know, moonless nights or just all of that comes easy. Dialogue is certainly a challenge. And now you have to, you know, you're making up these characters and how they would speak to each other. And that is really interesting. You know, you kind of get into that and all of a sudden you're off in a place you really, you know, wow, how did we get here?
Yeah.
But I kind of like it. So, you know, we keep going.
So what do you think, do you recommend the ebook process for other people?
Yes. You know, Stealth Books and Jeff Edwards, you know, he said, okay, look, the Kindle is like the Gutenberg press.
Right. I mean,
everyone is going to that. It's been out now, what, 5, 6, 7 years. And, for Raven One, 98% of the sales have been electronic and 99.5 of those have been Amazon Kindle.
I mean, wow.
Wow. Just dominates the market.
Well, yeah. I mean, people like to be able to click and get it and not.
And what was a surprise to me, though, is like you can get this, you know, this trade paperback print on demand. And even if only one person wanted that, you could get Amazon to print you a copy and it sends right to your door. You know, 10 years ago, if you wanted something to hold in your hands, you had to have a press run of, I don't know, 1,000 copies or more. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be in your garage and it's up to you to do whatever you want with them.
Right. Right, but you had a huge investment as an author, which let's face it, when you're trying to get that off the ground, that's the last thing you want to do. So
there's never been a better time to write a book, and you have to write a good one, obviously, or you know, you can write anything you want. But you know,
it kind of helps if it has a story.
You're right, but people are going to give you that social proof on Amazon reviews and Goodreads is another great social media website that's beneficial.
So, I guess I kind of know what I'm going to take away from this book. But what do you want people that read it to take away?
You know, people would ask me, you know, what is it like? And you know, how do you explain that in a couple of sentences at say a cocktail party or an outing? So, Raven One explains what it is like in my fictional squadron on my fictional ship. But I want people to get a sense of the professionalism and the teamwork We all love Top Gun. I love Top Gun. And, you know, there's the hopping in an airplane and hair on fire and off they go.
Yeah, blow stuff up.
But there is a lot more, planning and the precision involved. And also just, how we get along. I mean, Maverick wouldn't last a day in a squad.
Sure.
He'd be thrown right out. You have to measure up. Here in Pensacola, the Blue Angels just finished their season.
Yep.
And it is all about teamwork. And they are, briefing and debriefing to the nth degree. They're never satisfied. They're always committed to getting better.
Yeah. And I'm amazed at how much work actually goes into things before you even climb into the cockpit.
Exactly. The level of training is just outstanding. And that is really what sets us apart. The other thing that sets us apart, and I touch on this in Raven One, is that the geopolitics of how the United States uses their military overseas,
yeah,
and why we're forward deployed, the role of deterrence and how we support.
Well, and I thought I liked that because it was really, to me, it was an inside view, which you don't get through the medias and the newsrooms and all that stuff, because obviously I think people are liking to sell drama more than anything else. But you really kind of put it out there where it's like, look, it's not a matter of choice of whether you want to be there or not. It's a matter of needing to be there to acclimate for what the rest of the world is going on.
Yes.
And I know there's only so much you can talk about through your career in those pieces, but I mean, you lived that. You experienced it.
Absolutely. My flying experience was in the 80s and 90s and lots of time in the 80s off the coast of a country called Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
And in the 90s, flying over places like Bosnia and southern Iraq doing no-fly zone enforcement. And that was, most people, it's kind of forgot that was going on. But certainly, very important for me and the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that were involved.
Yeah. So do you still fly?
I do not.
You don't go borrow the keys from the Blues once in a while?
I don't. It's great to be around those guys. And I watched them, Friday and Saturday this past weekend. And over the years, I've had many friends on the team. I got to fly with them once in the backseat. I had a friend that was flying number four, and he put me back in there. Just a terrific experience. But I don't fly. Do I miss flying? Yes.
Yeah.
And what I miss is the challenge and the camaraderie that I experienced in carrier aviation.
Yeah. So did you just fly F-18s or have you flown other stuff?
I started flying the A-7E Corsair II in the 80s. And we then transitioned to this brand new F-18 Hornet.
Uh-huh.
Just a wonderful, and it's just a terrific airplane. Really enjoyed it in the late 1980s. And finished my career. All roads lead to the Pentagon. And that's where I ended up about 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, let me clarify this. These are the same planes that the Blues are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, you talked about like the supersonic souped up F-18. What was that one called again?
Well, there's a newer variant of the Hornet. It's called the Super Hornet.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, was it like Mach 9 instead of Mach 6?
it's a bigger airframe, so it can carry more and fuel and ordnance.
Yep.
There's a two-seat version the Navy operates. But it's basically a F-18. The airplane is supersonic. It can turn on a dime. It's a joy to fly, multi-mission. It's just a terrific jet.
Very cool. Well, and like I said, you've shared that experience as much as you can in words, and I'm sure that words can only go so far to explain the thrill of that kind of flying and stuff. So, you'd said something about all roads lead to the Pentagon, so that's sort of where you've been. But let's tell people, I mean, other than the author and stuff, you're doing some pretty cool consulting, right?
I'm a defense consultant, and companies hire me mostly to do business development with the service, although I spent lots of time on Capitol Hill. I finished my Navy career in legislative affairs, so I'd work with the House and Senate.
You went from one extreme to the other, didn't you?
Absolutely. Wow. Wearing a suit and, going around Capitol Hill. And then after I retired, I became a defense lobbyist and did that full-time for 5 years in Washington.
Very cool. So what's next for Kevin Miller, aside from part two?
Well, part two is, I'm going to publish that here next year, but Raven One is on Hollywood's radar.
Yeah.
And,
that's why I keep saying Top Gun.
there's a couple of, jiggling lines, out there. And so, I'm gonna pursue that. And one thing I think I'm gonna take up at the behest of number one, my wife, and some points of contact out in Hollywood is to take a crack at writing a screenplay.
Yeah. Which I've heard is so much different, actually, because, you know, like you said, dialogue earlier, you are really separating it by person.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've seen screenplays and know a little bit about it. And, you know, here in this novel, you want to paint a word picture.
Yeah.
But this is just, you know, nuts and bolts, you know,
it's a thousand words a day per picture.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the character walks in and speaks, and you know, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, you have to put all that action and stuff into it.
I'm gonna, you know, and I guess in this world, the director, the producer, they take this script, this raw material, and then through their own interpretation, you know, put it on the screen.
Yeah.
Keith, your timing is impeccable. I'm gonna point this out too. That tomorrow is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And we have a 24-year vet here in the studio.
Who better take tomorrow off.
Yeah,
you can't do your thousand words tomorrow, man.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty extensive career in the military. Yeah. And just sitting here, I'm kind of in awe of some of the things that Captain Miller's done in his career.
So you started in here in Pensacola.
Started here in Pensacola, and we remember USS Lexington that used to be the home port here. And so right. I have carrier landings day and night on Lexington that I'm pretty proud of. And then I spent my operational career in Jacksonville, Florida.
And then you just said Pensacola is the place, man. So you moved back.
You know, I married a Pensacola girl, as many of us have, and that's a good thing. Although my wife was living and working in Jacksonville at the time. And so we dated and got married. We've been married 30 years now.
Yeah. So I've talked to a lot of people about this just because of some of the community things I've been in. But Pensacola Naval Air Station is a huge start for so many people in the Navy.
Everyone, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard.
Yeah.
If you're in aviation, your journey starts in Pensacola.
Yeah.
And it's you know, for many of us. You know, it's that emotional attachment to Pensacola. You know, we started our journey here. And
yeah.
Pensacola is a terrific town and has always welcomed us and welcomed us back.
Yeah, which is very cool. And I wanted to make sure that I highlight that you guys actually left. And because that's what happened with, that's actually how I ended up here. My mom came down here a long time ago and was back in St. Louis working, and then was like, you know what? I got the opportunity. And so she went. And so here we are. But, huge, huge impact on the military here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great, I'll say it's a Navy town, but, you know, all the services, including the Air Force, train here. It's a great place.
Yeah. And that was something else I didn't know either until, and even the Marines. I had no idea that the Marines were doing the helicopter training here and some of the other flights.
Today is, the birthday of the United States Marine Corps, 240.
There you
years,
go.
So Semper Fi to our Marine friends out there. And, naval aviation is Navy, Marine, and Coast Guard. We all wear the same wings.
Yeah. Very cool.
You know, Keith, we actually have a program in the March of Dimes that focuses specifically on military families because they move around so much. And, of course, stress of a deployed spouse. I can't imagine what that would be like. But because of those reasons and all of those stress factors, it really takes a toll on mom during pregnancy. And so we've actually created a program to focus on military families because they are at high risk. So we had a really fantastic event here last year. We were a pilot you know, location for this program called Mission Healthy Baby, where we're really reaching out to those military families and a lot of them, the lower ranking, enlisted folks, who need the most help. And so, I'm excited that we are bringing that back again this year and being able to provide something for the military community here.
When are they going to get you in a plane? We'll paint it pink.
Or purple.
Or purple.
I'll fly in a purple plane. That would be great.
Purple.
I already drive a purple car. I mean, you know, and sometimes it is kind of like my own personal jet.
Yeah, right. Very cool. So, well, I'm going to, Kevin, tomorrow's your day, man. So do you have, well, along with thousands and millions of others, but you got any big plans other than not writing?
Not really.
No?
And, you know, just, you know, it's a great day to, you know, to recognize the service of so many. And I think of so many that have gone before. I mean, you know, my father in Vietnam, grandfather in World War II, father-in-law also in World War II.
He was
a naval aviator. And, you know, we stand on their shoulders. And so it's a great, you know, legacy to be part of.
Very cool. Well, Kevin, where can we send everybody to buy the rest of your copies of your book?
Well, Raven Ones can be found on Amazon Kindle, exclusively on Kindle and digital. It's $3.99. print on demand through Amazon or CreateSpace, and it'll come right to your door. And you can also get it at places like Barnes and Noble, I believe. If you want to talk about the economics of writing, someone that spends $3.99 on Kindle, the author will get 70% of that in royalty.
Yeah.
Now you can buy it at Barnes and Noble for $15, and the author gets 88 cents of that in royalty.
Wow. Sure.
Just to show you, so it's there's
you the know, difference between digital, overhead.
Digital. That's right. And so digital is and independent, doing it yourself. It's a wave of the future. It's a good way to go.
Yeah, and that's a great way to get your story out. I mean, I probably never somebody passed this on to me as a name and. Had it not been in this format or, you know, easily accessible this way, I can't guarantee that I would have mm-hmm. gone to the bookstore to get it or the library to go find it or if there. So, you know, congratulations to you for finding that avenue that gets it out there. So,
well, thank you very much.
You said you have a Facebook page too, don't you?
Raven One.
Okay. So Facebook Raven One. You got cool, what's it got? Cool pictures and all that there's of your
cool
life?
Pictures. There are some cool pictures in there.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Cause the book didn't have any, which is okay. But some of the stuff I wanted to see because, you know, you always visualize a lot of these things in your head and then, but you want to see how close you are to it. So,
yes.
I would love to see some of this stuff. So I'm going to check it out when we get done here.
Absolutely. So, all right.
Well, I want to, Chris and Dan, and I want to thank all of you for coming out today and hanging out with us and sharing all of your businesses and your stories, and bring me a purple shirt.
All right.
I will sport it.
I will see you before next Tuesday then.
Kevin, I've got two chapters left and I will finish it. I promise. All right. And Chris, I may come run with you.
All right.
All right. That fair enough? That fair? All right.
Fair enough.
So, okay, guys, you can find us at Pensacola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank all of our guests for coming out today. It's been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.